Well, this morning we're going to do a little character quality review. So it's the lightning round, I guess, of that. Be a real fast deal. And we'll fly through that, and then we'll have a little time together at the end, too. So I think Liz, are you starting? Is that right? First up? All right. Come on down.
Yeah, Miss Liz.
My one person who knows my name. Thank you, Drew. So when we started off the year, we started with the word punctuality. And I remember it really, really well because one of the days that someone was speaking specifically on punctuality, I was sitting at my desk in the dome and working very hard on something, I have no idea what, and just totally forgot about assembly. I mean, it was just not even in my thought process. So I had to walk in late to the punctuality session. But the definition that they have for punctuality is showing respect for others by doing the right thing at the right time. And I can recall my father talking to me numerous times and saying, you know, whenever you're 10 minutes late for something, what you've just told the other person is that your 10 minutes is more important than their 10 minutes, the person that's waiting on you. And that kind of, you know, really makes sense. I mean, I think we want to show respect to other people, and one of the ways that we can show respect is by respecting their time. And so in that case, that's the example of punctuality. The next word that I was asked to remind you of or to go over was self-control. And man, this one hits really hard in the conviction area. I have zero self-control where sugar is involved. I mean, it's like a serious issue. And so, you know, I think in a lot of ways, if that's the worst thing, at least it's a socially acceptable problem. But nonetheless, I need to be really careful that I'm not trying to do Liz control of things, but that I am trying to ask God to help me with those things. Okay, so my self-control really needs to come from asking for God's strength in those areas. And self-control is doing what's right even when I don't feel like it. And that's an often frequent time. My mother, you got to hear about my dad's wisdom, my mom's wisdom was talking to me about the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And this has a lot to do with self-control, because that's who's going to let you know when you're starting to step out of the bounds. And what she explained to me is, like, if you think about gears, like in a motor, okay? And we know that the gears turn because the cogs, the things sticking out, fit right between each other perfectly. She says when you ignore the Holy Spirit, that wheel's turning, and it kind of just knocks off the edges. And little by little, you're going to get to where the Holy Spirit is not, you're not hearing his voice. Okay? And so we need to be really careful about that. We need to keep our cogs of our gears strong enough. Don't let those things get rubbed down. Okay? Because there is a danger of not being able to hear God's word in your inner side. Okay, then finally, the last one is humility. And that was Miss Marion that talked to you about humility. And humility is written as recognizing the people and the factors that have shaped my life. And man, I could go back with lots of people. I think often when we think about humility, we're thinking about, you know, like debasing yourself or embarrassing yourself or, you know, just false humility a lot of times. And we really need to be careful of that. One of the scriptures talks about Galatians 6:14, but far be it from me to boast. Okay, so that would be the opposite of humility, would be boasting. Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And I think that that is such a good thing to keep in mind, that all by myself, there's nothing there. You know, I have true value as a daughter of the King, but the only thing that I truly can boast in is that I am going to heaven because I know God, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, and that's the only thing I can boast in. That's the only thing that has any value. Okay, so those are my three.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, so the first character trait that I wanted to remind you guys of is resilience. And if I can have you guys try to remember all the way back to, like, what was this, September, October, something like that, Dr. Grace actually talked to us about resilience. And the subject of his talk was, like, Paul's resilience spirit in the city of Lystra. And so basically, what happened was Paul was preaching in this city, Lystra, and the people there basically were like, we don't want to hear this. And so they stoned him, and actually to the point where they thought he was dead, and they drug him out of the city. Well, Paul wasn't dead, so he decided to go right back into the city. Smart, huh? Well, the definition of resilience is recovering from adversity. And Paul's resilient spirit told him that he had business still in the city, so he was going to go there, finish his business, and then leave. And so the Bible verse that we had talked that really had exemplified this character trait was 2 Corinthians 2:9-8-9. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Christ, so that the life of Christ may also be revealed in our body. And so the next one is dependability. And the definition for this one is like fulfilling commitments even in the face of adversity. So basically doing what you said you were going to do, even if you have to maybe sacrifice something for that. And for this one, we had the assistant baseball coach, Matt McHugh, talk about how dependability, one of the, I guess, restaurants, fast food restaurants that you can really term dependable is McDonald's. Maybe the food is not that great, the service might not be that great, but everywhere you go, you can depend on getting the same product in the same amount of time in general. And for almost all over the world, you can go to this fast food restaurant and get just about the same thing. And so this exemplifies how you can fulfill the commitment of having this product and this service despite any obstacle that you face. And so the Bible verse that we really looked at for this was Luke 16:10. One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and the one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. This really nails home, I think, what it means to be dependable. Because if we are a dependable person, then people can depend on us, they can lean on us, they can trust in us. So the very last one I have is responsibility, and the definition for this one is knowing and doing what is expected of me. And responsibility really includes three different things. Knowing, or knowledge, and that's basically knowing what we're supposed to do, and then action, which is doing what you know you're supposed to do, and then the expectation, which is our attitude about having to do what we know we have to do. So it's those three things, knowing, action, and expectation. And one of the contrasts that we put on this one when Dr. Jones spoke about this last month was that a lot of times we think of responsibility as our ability to respond. But in actuality, it's man's response to God's ability. So God has got the ability, but we have to respond. So, you know, if you, like Liz was talking about, are depending on the Holy Spirit and listening to him, God has got the ability for you to face whatever situation you're in. You just have to respond to him. And so the verse that we had for this one was Colossians 3:23-24. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. And so that's all I have for now. And now we have Dr. Bob up to do the last two.
Thank you for that applause. I'm looking at wisdom and initiative. Wisdom, making practical application of truth in daily decisions. I think Katie gave me this one because I have white hair, and that's typically seen as a sign of that. I started getting this when I was 32, by the way, and when I lived in Africa. It's really to my benefit, because my students, most of them were older than me, but they didn't know that, so it was good. Initiative, recognizing and doing what needs to be done before I'm asked to do it. And initiative is, it's good. People really, especially people that you work for, love to have people working for them with initiative. And I just want to pause at this point. The soccer coach, girls soccer coach, ladies soccer coach, which is it? Couldn't be here today, had something else she had to do, but she really wanted one student recognized for initiative. So I'm gonna do that right now, because otherwise I might forget. Rosie Cruz. I take it that means everybody knows who Rosie is. She said Rosie, and the girls' soccer season, you know, had its struggles, had its ups and downs, and there was a lot of times when the team was really frustrated, felt overwhelmed, sometimes wanted to give up, and Rosie was always there to motivate them, to keep them going, and she didn't have to be told to do this. And so Rosie, thank you for exemplifying that quality. Now, before I say anything else about wisdom and initiative, I feel like I need to address a rumor that's been floating around the college that the academic dean is leaving. Devin talked to me last week. He said, I hear you're stepping down. I said, well, I kind of look at it as stepping up, but it's all a matter of perspective. But yes, a week from today will be my last day with Ecclesia. So that's no longer a rumor now. And in this... In this day of what Trump calls fake news, what, you know, you always wonder what you hear, you know, what's the truth of it. I want to put this in a little bit different way. And I'm 60 years old. I don't have another job prospect in sight that's for certain yet. I can't afford to retire yet, so I need to have a job. And I'm leaving here, and nobody's asked me to. And now your next question should be, whose idea was it to have this guy speak on wisdom? Because that all sounds pretty stupid, pretty unwise. But conventional wisdom and spiritual wisdom are two totally different things. It was interesting this morning as I was driving here, I was listening to John MacArthur, and he happened to be preaching about wisdom this morning. And just a couple of his statements stood out. One was, he said, human wisdom is futile. It doesn't go anywhere. And he said, wisdom is living out truth in every aspect of your life. And I wish I had several hours. I'd really like to share the story of my life with y'all, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to resist that. But I do want to say that I know the Dr. Jones Spiritual Life of the Christian Leader class. I think this last week y'all went over the seven principles that are in Experiencing God. Is that true? And I want to just recap these, because this Experiencing God study came out in like 1991 or 1992, we were brand new missionaries living in the bush and in the depths of culture shock. And our leadership sent us this book, we worked through it, and this has stuck with me. And I think this is really the foundation of wisdom, because wisdom, genuine wisdom, has its foundation in a genuine relationship to God. And so sometimes a genuine relationship with God, what comes out of that, you know, this making practical application of truth in daily decisions doesn't necessarily match up with what human wisdom would say is the thing that you should do. And so these seven principles, just briefly, God is always at work around you. You know, if we really believe that, we're always looking for what is God doing in my life at this time and what's my part in it. Number two, God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that's real and personal. And for those of us who've accepted Christ, we're believers, we're Christians, God desires that. God pursues us. God comes after us, and he wants to mold us into a tool that can do wonderful things under his guidance. Number three, God invites you to become involved with him in his work. God's at work. God desires for us to be part of that work, and so as we can see what God's doing around us, we can jump in and be a part of that, and God wants us to do that. God speaks through the Holy Spirit, through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church. And this, if our life is in tune with God, if we're developing that relationship with God, God desires to make his will known to us. God's will is not some mystical thing that only the very few can ever find it. God wants us to know what his will is, and so he uses all kinds of avenues to make that known. God's invitation for you to work with him always leads you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. And that's sometimes hard. Faith that requires action because you know you're doing what God wants you to do. You must make major adjustments in your life to join God in what he is doing. There are times that following God, doing what God wants you to do, is not going to be what you think you should be doing. And then finally, you come to know God by experience as you obey him and he accomplishes his work through you. I remember very early in my missionary career seeing people running, other missionaries running from problems, because living in the bush in Africa is not very easy to do. Especially from someone who grew up in a big city in the United States. And so when we came to the end of our first term of service, getting ready to go back to the States for a year, I made it known that I'm staying right where I am for another 4 years. There's nothing you can offer me that would cause me to move away, because I just want to prove that, you know, I want to establish myself here and not be jumping from place to place. So I did that. 2 weeks before we went back to the field, I got a letter inviting me to do a position that didn't exist when I left. And I read that and I told my wife, I said, I think God wants me to do this. And I can't. I told everybody I'm not going anywhere. But I did. A lot that goes with that, but I kind of did the fleece thing like in the Old Testament, and, you know, God did it, and so did. And I learned, you know, just because I think I know what the right thing to do is doesn't necessarily mean it's the right thing to do. In 2004, we were starting to look at putting kids in college, and so I made an Excel spreadsheet that had all of the rest of my career plotted out, when kids were going to go in college so that I could be there with them, so that I could plan vacations and furlough and whatever around that. And as soon as I finished that, God started a process independently in me and in my wife that would result in us a year later moving to Western Europe and spending the next 4 years there. And for both of us, it was like, this doesn't make any sense. You know, I had just been promoted to the dean of theology at the newly accredited college. And my wife had always sworn that she would never learn another language, and especially not a difficult one like German, because Swahili was easy, but it was still challenging. And so, but we came together after both of us struggled in prayer with it, and we finally shared and realized God was moving us. And so we moved, and what happened was what I call a holy discontent. You know, what I was doing was wonderful. I loved what I was doing. I wanted to spend the rest of my life doing what I was doing. But God said, you know what? I'm finished with you here, and I have something else for you to do. And so we went. And all of that kind of introduction to just say, answer the question that probably some of you are asking, why are you leaving Ecclesia College? Don't you like us? I love you guys. I think you know that. But about almost 2 years ago, my baby sister died in an accident. She was a skydiver. She'd done over 1,300 skydives. She liked to do skydives like I like to do long distance running. You know, she was passionate about it. She was good at it. And her equipment malfunctioned and she died instantly on hitting the ground. And she was only 54 years old at the time. And at that point in time, I came face to face with the fact that, you know, Hebrews says it's appointed unto man once to die. You know, all of us, I know all of you who are in your teens or 20s, you know, you think, ah, that's an eternity away still. Well, you know, can happen anytime. There's a day, there's an appointed day for all of us. And I was suddenly face to face with that, and I started asking myself the question, am I still where God wants me to be? I wasn't really, I'm still not unhappy in what I'm doing. I love my job. But suddenly I started thinking, you know, God's called me to ministry. And I'm doing ministry, but I'm not sure that it's where God wants me to be anymore. And again, that kind of holy discontent started. Started exploring options, decided, you know, maybe that's not the way. Well, because my sister died, my mother, who just turned 80 recently, we needed to bring her to live with us. And so we did last November. And at that point in time, I was pastoring a little country church, First Baptist Church of Weddington Woods. And I realized that there was no way that I could do an academic administrator's job, pastor a church, because there's no such thing as a part-time pastor, and give my mother the time that she deserved. And so I resigned my church. And at that point in time, it's like God pulled the rug out from under me. I had the feeling that I had abandoned my calling to keep my job. And so since that time, it's been a time of intense, intense prayer about what direction does God want me to take. And I started looking for church positions, but I thought, you know, I'm just not sure enough. And, you know, having worked so closely with Oren for almost 7 years, I thought, you know, I don't want to just start sending resumes out all over, because I didn't want my boss to hear through the grapevine that, oh, your academic dean's looking for someplace else to go, you know. And I thought, I owe him more than that. So about 6 weeks ago, I sat with Oren and said, I'm submitting my resignation, and explained the reason why. And, you know, this God's invitation for you to work with him always leads you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. Since I've come here, one of the first questions that was asked me was, do you think you'll ever go back to the mission field? I said, you know, if I thought God wanted me to go back to Tanzania where we spent 16 years, I could have my ticket booked in 5 minutes. I mean, I'd go in a heartbeat. God hasn't led me that way, and I wish he would, but he hasn't. But I've always had that commitment of, if I truly believe God wants me to go a different direction, then I have to go that direction. And so when I came to that conviction about 6 weeks ago, I said, okay, I don't know where the next place of service is, but I do know that God has something out there. And that's, you know, wisdom, the applying, making practical application of truth in daily decisions, and initiative, recognizing and doing what needs to be done before I'm asked to do it. You know, these are qualities that really we spend a lifetime developing, because I think it's part of our Christian commitment. And the closer that we walk with God, the easier it becomes to do exactly what those say. Because, I have to be honest, it's hard to leave a job without having another one in hand, because the doubts always come. What if I don't get one for 6 months? What if I go broke? What if I, you know? But God speaks to us in a lot of different ways. One of those ways is circumstances. 6 weeks ago, after I sat with Oren and told him that I was going to be leaving, every night since then, I have slept so peacefully. And for me, that was kind of God's confirmation. You're doing the right thing.
So, well, Donna, I just want to ask you if you, Donna has probably worked closer with Bob than I think than anybody else, and just want to ask if you're sure welcome to join us here. Got a couple of things in mind I just want to say and to do. I want to pray for Bob, you know, for sure. I want to say a couple of things. You know, life, as Bob alluded to, moves faster than a lot of us. Our perspective generally grows as we get older, and how fast life is running. You know, it's running pretty quick. And these almost 7 years now that we've been, I feel like, privileged to work together. I always think that verse that we're workers together with Christ. What a privilege that is to work together with him. But then he also, was talking this morning with Bob just a little bit about how I watch how he sets solitary into various families within his larger body to work together as a team. And it may not be for all of your life, but it may be, you know, but it's for a season at least. And I remember, and I would say this too, it's very hard for me also to ever, you know, if I had to think, what verse comes to mind when I think of Bob Hedrick? And it's really just a portion of a verse that just, you know, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And not only have I heard him talk about that different times, and I think all of us probably have in classes, and that's a figurative thing talking about life ahead with Christ and what we're doing. But I've also had the privilege of doing that literally, because the way I met Bob is, you know, just very shortly after I met Bob, he says, you want to run a marathon. So this was in early 2011, and I remember thinking, well, I really just reacted, just responded, yes, because I'd been praying, God, let me have an opportunity to get to know this guy better, because when we hired Bob, he was teaching and an assistant academic dean, but, you know, Don and I had in our minds that this could be the guy that could be the academic dean. And so, but I needed time with him. And so I'm very slow, not at a 20-yard dash. I bet I could still beat most of you at that. But when we're talking, yeah, that's a challenge. Yeah, that's a, at an endurance race, I remember Darian and I ran with Bob one time. It was kind of a similar thing. We were getting to know one another, and this was real early on when Darian was here, or maybe even before you were hired. I don't know. It was right in there. Do you remember that? I can tell you, your coach could probably, smoke a few of you too. Still, that'd be my guess. So we ran something like that. Is that a challenge? I don't know. Maybe not. But still got a little speed, little speed left. Yeah. But we were running, and we ran. I don't know how far we ran. It wasn't all that far. Maybe with 3 or 4 miles or something. I don't know what it was. Something like that. But at the end, we all wanted to push it there at the end. And I don't think Darian had been running as much as me or Bob, but he was fast, and had, so he, at the end we start running, the last couple hundred yards, and Darian pushed hard. He won, I'll say this, Bob is not fast as a sprinter. But he runs with endurance. And that's what we're told to do, run with endurance. So many people can, have a burst, different bursts through life. And there's times that call for bursts through life. But life overall is something we run with endurance. And there's a lot of things that we're told to be and to do in life. We're supposed to be patient. Bob is patient. We're supposed to be kind. When have you seen Bob to be unkind? I don't think I ever have. Not once. We're supposed to be thorough. A lot of these qualities we've been talking about. Bob is thorough. Bob is thoughtful. He's loving. He cares for people. It's because he loves God first, and then God's love is shed abroad in his heart. And many of us have felt that on a personal level, and we've all benefited from it on a corporate level. We spent the better part of that year, 2011, training for and then running a marathon, which that was my first and only, and Kerry assures me it will be my only, because it takes a lot of time. But Bob has done many marathons, and I think it's... we're gifted in different ways. The body of Christ is different and gifted in different ways, and we're all born with various giftings. Some of us are born, and it's just our genes. We're going to be bigger. We're going to be faster. We're going to be shorter. We're going to be taller, whatever. Aaron, you can't help it. You're tall. I bet mom and dad were not under 5 foot tall, right? Not under 6 foot tall. So, but then when we're reborn, when we're born again, there's another set of giftings that God gifts us with, and it puts us into families and says, and wants us to utilize those, and he forms teams through that. And I think any of us in athletics know that from, there's different positions, different giftings, and if we utilize that and work together, oh man, that's powerful. And that's what's been, as Bob was saying, he's wondering, hey, God, what do you have ahead? And I've been wondering that same thing. I don't want to argue with God's leading, but I wonder, it's like God, and I should be wondering expectantly, right? Hopefully and expectantly, I should be wondering, okay, God, what are you going to do? I bet Donna may have had a couple of these same wonderings. It would be my guess. I bet you Liz and Jay have too on the academic committee, huh? So wondering, God, what are you up to, and how will you work? We're getting ready to go into quarterly planning meetings with the administrative council again the week after school, and Bob has been an integral part of that, and his giftings are a balance. The team that God forms becomes a balance. So I guess all that to say, I wanted to do two things in that. I want to recognize how grateful I am to you, Bob, for your contribution and your enduring and faithful serving of all of us, and and tell you I'm grateful to have served together. I'm grateful for that. And I hope that there is some of that in the future. One of my questions, really one of my only questions to Bob was, since that time, I guess there's been a few other related to work matters, but say God leads you to a church, in this area, would you still want to teach? I think he's open to that. Not the first semester, but I think he's open to coming and teaching. So I think that'd be great if we got to serve, continue to serve together, but he'd be in a different capacity. Anyway, but I wanted to thank you, and I wanted to just recognize a lot of those traits and say I'm grateful to you for that. And I don't, Donna, I didn't know if you'd want to say anything or not, but I wanted to sure give you the opportunity.
I don't know if I can, so I may break down. 5 years before Dr. Bob came, my husband was the academic dean, and things were getting bigger and heavier burden. So we started praying for God to send somebody to replace my husband as academic dean. And what a joy, and what confirmation, and what a friend. Dr. Bob has set the bar high, and we want to continue that. We thank you so much for being our leader, and we won't forget you. As we pray to him, we'd love to bless you and pray you out.
So, and we wanted to have a few, just snacks and coffee and stuff, just to, I don't know, it feels funny to say celebrate, but to honor, I think, is more appropriate. I'm not celebrating right now, I've got to tell you, but I do want to honor. And so, if you would, I just want to pray for Bob as we could join together in that, and then we'll have a little time of fellowship after. So, Lord Jesus, I'm so grateful for my friend, Bob Hedrick. Lord, grateful for how you brought us together, allowed us to work together for a good long season. And Lord, I just pray your absolute best ahead for Bob. Lord, we know that he's still looking for your leading, just trying to be obedient and still looking for your leading as to the next step ahead here. So Lord, I pray for that. I pray for wisdom, and I pray for your leading. You'd be attentive and hearing very clearly your direction for the next step of his life. Lord, I'm so grateful for how Bob has faithfully served your body, your kingdom, through Ecclesia and through all the other facets of his life. Lord, I'm grateful for the example of a man who runs the race that is set before him with endurance, teaches it, and models it. And Lord, we pray your blessing and your favor on every thing that that you've given to Bob and Cheryl to do. Lord, I pray for just your blessing on how they serve and care for Cheryl's father and Bob's mother in the time ahead. And Lord, for whatever that you do lead Bob to, I know that you've gifted him well. And Lord, I pray you'd surround him with a great team and that would be a great success, whatever it is. Lord, we pray your favor on that. Lord, we bless you. We bless Bob. In Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yep. Gives appreciation. Good, good, good. Good, good, good. So, all right. So maybe some of y'all can help me get him back to teach some classes then in the future too. So, Liz, is there any instruction here? I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. There's some refreshments and coffee and what is that? Trail mix. Oh.
Coffee, cookies, trail mix, crackers, and a cracker spread.
All right.
All right.
Chex Mix, one of Bob's requested favorites here. So, all right. Thank you, guys.